And welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Clothes, a podcast where each week I sit down with my guests to talk about their relationship with clothing. Today, my guest is the lovely Veronica Horseman, where I've taken a day out of my vacation to come see her. We are...
No pressure. You've just given up an entire day of your vacation.
Oh, it better be good. It's worth it. It's fully worth it. I wouldn't come out here if I didn't want to. Yeah, we have known each other for...
I was trying to put a number on it the other day, actually, because I figured it would be a question.
About 8 years? Something like that. When we had photo together.
2009?
Yeah,
2010. Like almost, so 9 years then.
Yeah, 8, 9 years.
Yeah.
So we're both photographers and then also love fashion, specifically vintage, but like all things clothing. We love it. We will talk about it to death. Oh, I didn't get my, like, three facts about you. Shit.
For the record, she cringes from the laptop screen, like, oh my god.
Well, because I get, like, three fun facts about my guests. Mm. So, do you want to think about some on the spot?
Fun facts?
Yeah. So, like, my last guest, it was former server and bartender, hasn't worn shorts in 2 years, and is always 2 years behind fashion trends. And, like, Alyssa was, like, loves a big sleeve.
Like, how that's a fun fact. She loves a big sleeve.
I would say, I don't know if it's, like, a fun fact, but it's a fun story about a piece of clothing. I'll just tell it.
Just tell it anyway.
So it was this, and I don't have it to show you. I wish I did. It's this kind of silk Dior day dress, white with red polka dots, or kind of cream with red polka dots. And the first time I went to New York was by myself. I wore that dress, which didn't really fit me that well, but I was like, it's Dior, I'm gonna wear it. And I wore it with like cowboy boots. The look was like a mess.
But... It just sounds very Halifax to me.
Yeah.
And, like, East Coast where you're
totally, yeah.
Yeah, that goes.
These things go together. It's edgy. So I wore it to New York and I was so stoked because these like really cute New York hipsters were like, yeah. When I walked by and I'm like, I don't know why that was, but I'm gonna say they liked my dress.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say.
Oh yeah,
and yeah. Well, I think older men always talk to me in a friendly manner, but the ones on the plane were just interested to know where I was going, and I'm like, oh. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, fun facts. I have nothing quippy for you.
Everything that's okay.
Is like. Stories.
We'll just get into it then. Yep. First things first, can you
maybe
describe...
It'll come up.
Cool. Okay. Can you describe your current outfit?
It is a halter neck dress with shoulder straps, kind of light blue ground with kind of aqua polka dots.
Yeah, it's a very nice sundress.
Sweetheart neckline, vintage inspired, though not vintage, with pockets.
That was a joke. I feel like that's going to be a recurring theme for this project.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're like, that was a joke with, I think, Alyssa.
Crazy on the pockets.
Previous guest, where it's just like, okay. If you like compliment a woman's outfit, specifically a dress, it's like, thanks, it has pockets. And it was on sale.
Yeah, this dress is definitely didn't, when I first got it, I could wear a bra with it, but now I just prefer not to.
Oh, I have a couple sundresses like that where I'm just like, why am I trying to cram like a whole other garment in this?
I don't know.
When the structure of the dress is doing just fine. Yeah.
Why do you need a bra?
Yeah. So would you say this is a typical outfit for you or?
Yeah. So because we were looking through the wardrobe earlier and I said I have quite a few of these, not the same looking dresses, but from the same company. And
what is the company?
Cherry Velvet.
Okay. Oh, yeah. You were talking about them.
Yeah. Out of BC, so I'm not exactly sure. We're probably Victoria.
Okay.
They've got... Their thing is vintage inspired.
So, like, mod cloth, but more local, basically?
No, not like mod cloth at all. Like, much
better made than Montcloth.
Well, that's the big thing, is like Montcloth. Also, their parent company got bought by Walmart this year. So, yeah. Like...
Goodbye.
No thanks.
No, like, let's just make it all out of shitty material. Yeah, so they're all, like, cotton. Mostly cotton.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll just, like, throw one of these on and... Usually with absolutely no underwear.
You live in the country.
It's like, I don't care.
You can get away with it.
Not like, I'll put underwear on if I go into town. Why did I say that? I'm being recorded.
I'll edit you to sound good.
Yeah. So that's usually what it is, because it looks vintage, but it's made out of cotton and I don't have to worry about destroying it.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, that's always the catch with vintage, is either it is, depending on the era, it is... so synthetic, which keeps me away from a lot of, like, the 60s into the 70s, which is not my aesthetic anyway. Yeah. But when you see those crazy prints and you're like, and you are pure polyester.
Oh, yeah.
And it's heavy polyester, like that heavy knit polyester. And you're like, I'm just going to have aggressive sweat stains.
Oh,
everywhere.
Every crease of your body will just be...
You will just be a walking sweat stain.
Yeah.
No thanks. So, that's nice that it's cotton, because... You're not always going to guarantee that. And if it is vintage and cotton, then you're like, well, am I just going to put my arm through the wrong seam one day?
Yeah, and I've definitely done that.
Yeah.
Like, in stores. And you think, like, oh, this is going to fit. And, like, I'm really good with knowing what my body size is. And it's like, if I have any doubt in my mind, I'm not going to try it on.
Oh, yeah, no. Like, I just made my... trip to Elsie's the other day. Did you see the...
Yes, I did, yeah.
Oh, it's so
I kind of love that, like, high-low, waisted, like, that frilly blue shirt.
It was a bit too much. I kind of want to go back for it.
Totally, like, totally over the top, but I was, like, living for those ruffles.
Oh, I feel like if it was all one length, I would have gotten it. But it was just, like, 120 things where it was, like, very, like, A-line tent and those big billowy sleeves.
Yeah.
And then the high-low front, where I was like, either you need a high-low, no sleeves, or, like, one continuous hem length with the sleeves.
Yeah.
But I was just like, Alyssa had to talk me out of that one.
I have a pair of pants in my closet that I call them my kendo pants.
Okay.
They're, like, really Japanese-inspired in the way that they do not fit. They're, like, really fitted on the waist, but, you know... like, really open on the leg.
Oh, yeah.
They're freaking awesome, but I, again, one of those instances where, why did you buy those pants? Because there's, like, you live in the country, where are you going to wear those?
I know, yeah.
I've worn them, like, we do, so one of the things, I shouldn't say viewers because they're not viewers.
Listeners.
I'm a huge nerd and play a lot of Dungeons & Dragons. And so one of my favorite things is to get, like, semi-dressed up to freak my friends out because... And we... So before playing D&D, we'll go and, like, do some archery. So here I am in this, like, completely out of place outfit. Like,
yeah.
Shooting a bow and arrow. It's... Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you about that. This has come up very organically. About... Because you used to live in Halifax, which is, like, the big city of the East Coast, which... For
anyone... Which is funny because it's totally not...
Anyone from the East Coast is like, oh, a big city. But then anyone who's from, like, Montreal West is like, this is the quaintest place ever. Anyway, so, like, coming from, like, the big city of the East Coast and then moving out to buttfuck nowhere on the side of a highway across from a beautiful river... how has that changed your wardrobe, or has it at all? Like, do you, I take it you kind of enjoy sticking out as, like, that eclectic, eclectically dressed young woman?
Well, I usually, anytime I wear pants, the crotch is, like, a good half meter long because they're men's pants. And so when I go to these, you know, to play D&D, because usually that's, like, my main social thing.
Yeah.
It's either that or... I don't know, going for a few drinks at a neighbor's house or something.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a lot on the river.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's usually... What was the point of that?
Oh, just, like, has moving to the country changed how you dress at all?
Oh, yes. No, in short. But I was, again, one of those things I was thinking of the other day was, you know, have I really changed at all? And like, why do I dress the way that I do? And
yeah.
Where does that come from? And like, I'm from a really small town in New Brunswick, Rexton, New Brunswick, and, you know, was once a vibrant shipping town and is now just a town of retirees slowly dying, like, you know, a lot of small towns, small little enclaves of people. And I just always had a vast, I call it catalog, because really, yeah, it's what it is, like generations of clothing up until, you know, we moved there in 93. And of course, when you're a kid, you always hate it because it's not like the in thing.
Yeah.
Then you come to love it and you find that, oh my goodness, this is like a really massive influence for me, and colors and, you know, cuts of clothing, length of dresses, like absolutely everything. And then, you know, you, from a young age, you know what quality is. So I think it's something that has always been a part of my life. So like, I mean, yeah, I don't wear vintage every day because that's, I wish, but
right?
Like,
I know.
Realistically,
I feel like that's when you like, either you just like milk being that eccentric woman in the country or you like move to Manhattan.
Well,
and you just like stomp, like walk the streets of Manhattan around the park.
Which I think we've all done that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you pack your best freaky stuff and you take it to New York and you're like, I'm the shit in Madison Square Park and I'm occupying this bench.
I've only been to New York the once this fall, and I packed like the most basic stuff, and there was a bit of a heat wave, so it was like 20 degrees in October, and so I was in like a black shift dress and my Blundstones, and I was just like walking the entirety of Manhattan, and I was like, I wish I looked cuter, but also I only packed a backpack.
Yeah, New York, that's the thing. If you want to pack light, of course, wherever you go.
Yeah.
That's what I did when I was in Edinburgh. I had like one suitcase and I just wore the same thing all the time.
Oh my god.
It got pretty crusty after a while and I just never wanted to just see those items of clothing again.
Yeah.
But I think, a lot of the stuff, as you see in my wardrobe, is like, it's not all vintage. It's not even all, you know, not Old Navy. And there's some heavy Gap influences, though. There's some like 80s Abercrombie and Fitch in there.
Nice.
Some 80s Levi shirts. J. Crew. I didn't even show you my t-shirts.
No.
But, you know, like the basic striped t-shirt, which you wear all the freaking time. You're wearing a striped shirt right now.
Yeah.
Black and white for the win.
I actually realized on the drive I put it on backwards this morning.
Okay.
But yeah, this has been one of my staples
for
this trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, where I was joking to Armand on the yesterday, where it's like when you pack to travel, you're like, you try and keep it pared down.
Yeah.
And so you're just like, okay, I want to like give myself options, but I don't want to pack too much
because
you know there's going to be like the same three things that you wear.
Totally.
But you don't know what they are until you get there. Based on the weather. Because I packed like a nice little sundress and all this dumb stuff that was like much more summery,
because
I think I forgot about,
yes,
even though it's 17, you're still by the water, so it's a good like 3 to 4 degrees cooler.
Oh, yeah, and if we do make it to the beach, which, well, maybe we will, maybe we won't, but
lobster takes priority.
It's fucking even colder down there.
Oh, yeah,
closer, because this is like, the ocean is there. This is still the ocean, but it's, more proximity to the shoreline. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, this is like, I've been living in these pants and this top. And like the one other pair of pants I brought.
My black and white live-in suit, if you want to just, for your listeners, are this pair of, I would say the size is about extra large, black and white. I call it my Twin Peaks suit because it looks like that kind of chevron pattern.
Oh, the floor.
The Red Lodge. But yeah, they're kind of wild black and white overalls that my mom used to wear as snow pants, but they're totally not snow pants.
I love it.
Yeah.
So you've talked about it a little bit, I think, but what would you say it has been your relationship with clothing? Because you said it's been like a lot of influence from like the vintage, like from different generations, and
I think, I think a lot of living in New Brunswick and growing up and just figuring out who you are as a person and what things you like make up that person. I was always taught to not blend in.
To not blend in?
That's right. Because we were not from here. We were, yeah. Yeah, I really hope my mother doesn't listen to this. Well, maybe she will. But my family is originally from the States, and so they would use Rexton as, like, their summer home. And you just wanted to kind of be a bit better. Like, instead of saying what, you'd say pardon. So you always had to have that slight element of, like, polish. It's obviously subconscious now that I just do that. Like, and so I could be wearing sweatpants right now, or I don't actually own sweatpants, but, like my grubby paint stained clothes that don't come clean anymore, the paint will never come off.
Yeah.
But now they're starting to, like, brown around the neckline. But, you know, they're only for working in the garden and stuff, and that's what I wear most of the time.
Yeah.
Because, like, you're getting absolutely filthy outside. Actually just bought a pair of coveralls, which allowed me to get more filthy.
Yeah, you sent me a photo of that, and I was very jealous. But I was like... I have the reverse where it's like, you live in the city, you have a garden plot that is like 6 feet by 3 feet.
Yeah.
Where are you wearing coverall?
You have a garden plot?
Yeah, in front of my building.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'll send you photos. Once I get home, that's my goal.
Sweet.
My mint and some other lettuces from last summer.
Yeah.
Self-seeded.
Oh.
So they're just like coming up.
Nice. Okay. Yep.
Didn't even try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the best kind of gardening. It's like, yeah. So, yeah, I think I just have always done it because it was ingrained into me in a not-so-nice way, but now I've figured out a way to make it, like, a nice presentation of myself. Yeah.
Was that influence coming from grandparents, parents, great-grandparents?
I think, like, grandparents and aunts.
Okay.
And my mom was never that kind of person, really, where... You felt the need to dress up all the time.
I was going to say, like, from the handful of times I've met your mother, she doesn't strike me as one to be like, well, this is just how you dress. Like, that sounds very similar to, like, that mentality sounds similar to, like, my paternal grandmother.
Yeah.
Where, like, it was very, by the book and because what would people think and that kind of thing.
And that's exactly what it was. Like, what would people think if you just wore, sweatpants and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Like, you're better than that.
What would people think if you didn't wear a hat to church or, like, when you're out or whatever? Or
yeah, it's, you know, along that line. There was a point I was going to say.
I'll come back to it. What do you think your clothing says about you?
I was going to say. So my mom was the only one of my aunts and really uncles that didn't go to, like, prep school or finishing school. So I don't know why. I think she just didn't want to go. So my grandmother didn't make her go, which is uncharacteristic because if you knew my grandmother, but...
Was she the very old one at your wedding?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I mean, she's a complete... Like, you know, I want to say that I got a lot of my, this goes together, I'm gonna wear this and just be showy as hell from her, which I probably did, but part of me was like, no, you did it yourself.
I feel like I have this, was she wearing, like, a black beaded dress to your wedding, or?
I think it was gold.
Okay, I just think,
something
like, everyone
shimmery.
Kind of, I feel like a lot of the cousins.
It was shiny.
Like, everyone just kind of, like, moved around her and,
to contain,
like,
her.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yes. Well, mostly everyone, I'm sure, was just, I don't know, just wanted to make sure that, like, you know, no one said the wrong thing and flared up tempers and, you know, they were just like, no, we're all on duty today.
Oh my gosh, you didn't even have that big of a wedding. It was like 45 people total.
Yeah, it was small.
And that there was still, like, the personalities happening. Because I feel like that's just weddings, I think.
Yeah, oh, it totally is. But, granted, when you're at a larger wedding, like, that is
amplified.
Well, no, because there's so many people. If someone's not acting how they should, it just, you don't really see it. But because
fair.
It was such a small affair, they're like, no. Like, because, yeah, we don't need to get into it on the microphone.
Nope.
I'm just not going to do that.
So your mom didn't go to prep school because your grandmother didn't make her.
Yeah.
And so your mom just kind of went her own path then, I guess, aesthetically, because she didn't have that, like, prep school.
Well, mom went to NASCAD, so she was pretty wild in her dressing.
I believe it. In and out of the studios.
Yeah.
NASCAD student dressing.
Yeah, like, different time, like, you know, mid to late 70s is when she went. She did a few years here and did a few years there.
Yeah.
And, you know, just living in Nova Scotia and the kind of music-y art scene at the time, things could get pretty wild. Like, I wish I had some pictures to show you. There must have been some pretty wild parties that they went to.
Yeah.
This famous picture of my dad dressed as a baby. Yeah. So, like, his hair in, like, little, like, kind of rag rolls.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, a sheet around his, you know, downstairs area as a diaper. And I'm like, and with, like, rouge on his cheeks, like a baby doll. So, and that wasn't Halloween. That was just,
for a party.
A party, yeah. So,
Jesus.
It's like, what did you take that evening?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Nice. All right, let's circle back to, what do you think your clothing says about you?
Oh, yes, right. Hey, I didn't actually answer that. I went on a long diatribe.
Whatever. Okay. This is how we converse.
I'm pretty sure that's how I converse naturally, and people need to keep me on task. I'm not sure, you know? I don't know. I only know who I am. I'm not sure how I come off to other people. I think that when I wear the things I do, like my high visibility orange 60s jacket. Do you know the one?
Is it the one in the cupboard?
Yeah, that one.
I kept looking at that one.
Yeah, so when I wear that, like, people think, whoa, like, no one dresses like you. Like, that's, like, you don't see that every day kind of thing. But I'm like, well, it's just what I have in the closet, and I feel like wearing it because it's the warmest coat I have. But today, like, I had planned to dress up a little bit more.
Yeah.
I was actually wearing something different before you arrived. But I was like, no, I can't do that. And I don't know, I feel a bit kind of, when I dress myself, depending on the occasion, you wear what you wear subconsciously because you need a little extra armor or like protection, or like, not that you're nervous, like, I wasn't nervous that you were coming, but I'm like, well, she's going to interview me and she's going to take pictures, so it's like conscious of my appearance.
Well, yeah, I feel like I have that. Do you have this, like, even going to events, if, like, you're slightly uncertain about something, and so it's, like, you want to, like, look good, or maybe wear, like, a favorite or something to be, like, yeah, I got this. Like, that little extra comfort, or, like, that bit of armor of your clothing.
Yeah. I went to this opening in at the Lunenburg Art Gallery. They have them, like, every month or so.
Yeah.
So I, you know, we both dressed up, and when we get there, it's like, oh, you don't dress up. Your openings, you're okay.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I thought it was rocking it that day.
Yeah.
It's like, you're wearing heels? Where are you going? You know? Which brings me... No, I'm not even going to go. I'm going to keep on task for you as best as
okay.
Can.
We can go on diatribes if you want.
Okay.
But...
Well, so when my grandmother... she lived in Massachusetts when she married my grandfather, who's from actually originally Spring Hill, Nova Scotia, and then they moved to New Brunswick.
Okay.
So my great-grandmother told my grandmother when she saw her diamond bracelet, oh, you won't need that here. Like, you're living in the country now. Like,
oh, my gosh.
You won't need your finery?
Yeah.
Kind of, I guess. I don't know. I'm sure there was more to that conversation than just that
one
sentence takeaway. But I somehow understand that now much more living here than living in the small town where I'm from.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I even felt that when I was living on site at a summer camp.
Right.
In like Keswick, which is a developed area. It's just kind of like, it's formerly a cottager town that everyone from Toronto would go cottage in, but now it's like developed and there's like subdivisions and shit. Ah. There was a Walmart. But I just like...
There is a Walmart here. Why is that like the cornerstone of like... Of, oh, you're developed society. Developed. Yes, yeah. It's like... That. Oh, he stopped working now.
So. Okay, we'll try.
So I guess when you asked me like what does... All right. When you asked me what does my clothing... What I think my clothing says about me.
Yeah.
What do you think it says about me? Because I would like to know, not you specifically telling me, but like what people think when they see me, because I don't know, I just feel like myself most of the time. Yeah, putting it to the interviewer.
Turning the tables. I'm trying to think. I feel like you stand out, but not in a bad way.
Mm.
I think it's just like, that girl has a sense of style and like that girl has a sense of like how she wants to put herself together.
Mm-hmm.
And like you're, maybe you don't feel this, but I feel like you can be a bit fearless with it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or like you're just going to try some shit and see what happens.
So those, so the orange jacket
that
we were talking about, I often in the wintertime wear that with those overalls.
I love it. Which
is like absolutely insane visually when you see it together and it's like, who is this person? I don't
know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so this kind of dovetails together. What do you want your clothing to say about you?
Golly. You know, those are such simple questions, but when you ask it of someone, it's like,
yeah,
it's so difficult to answer. What do I want them to say? Probably what you just told me, that I like to try things out and sometimes it doesn't work and sometimes, you know, I'm like, Michael, does this look okay? He's like, no. I'm like, I'm wearing it anyway.
I know, I feel like, not that he is not fashionable, but I feel like Michael very much has, like, his formula.
Right.
And, like, plays by the book of, like, his L.L. Bean catalog and whatnot.
Well, yes, he's quite, I think, collegiate in origins.
Yes, yeah, collegiate, preppy, that kind of feeling. Whereas I feel like you have a bit of that, but then you can also, like, go left and be like, I'm going to wear my big, weird Japanese-inspired pants to D&D.
They're not even weird, though. Yeah. But I could see why someone would think they're weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, one more time. Let us have questions. What do you think your clothes say about you?
Or what do you want your clothing to say about you?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Okay, very good. Do you have any personal fashion rules? So, like, you don't own sweatpants.
Yeah, I would fucking never wear sweatpants outside. That is, like, pretty much my one rule, but I would wear or have worn like one of those pairs of leggings in my gardening attire pile is like see-through. Like, I am so frugal, I sewed up the crotch because of course the crotch, the seams just went bleh, you know, so
that's where it always busts up first.
Totally, every pair of pants. So I sewed those up, but now they're like see through if I bend over, so that's part of the reason why I got the coveralls. But yeah, no sweatpants. I don't know. They're like, I'm going to wear white after Labor Day. You know, I like.
Yeah. Oh, I just feel like sometimes people have like their own like, maybe I don't think of them as rules, but like they, I think they have their own like guidelines that they play by of like. Like, I still prescribe to, like, I will not pair brown and black together. Tan and black, yes, but, like, brown and black together, no. Navy and black together, no.
Really? Navy and black?
No.
Really?
No, what? They're not going together. They're not not going together.
They could totally go together.
But I feel like when you look at them, they're so tonally similar.
That navy dress, yeah. I wore with black heels.
That's different.
Is it though?
Yes,
it's because you're like, black.
Your legs are separating it.
No, no, not that dress. That dress oh, goes to the floor. Dress. Yeah. Ha ha. No. I mean, I think I would wear, like, so I say I don't wear sweatpants, but in the winter, because this house isn't one, insulated, or two, heated well.
Yeah.
I have this merino wool and angora, and I think a bit of nylon in there too. It's like a kind of sweat panty
yeah.
top set, and I wear that. But it's basically sweatpants, but it's not fucking sweatpants because it doesn't have, like, you know, an elastic.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
the drawstring and
all
that.
It's basically sweatpants, but it's made out of wool, so.
Nice.
Those are my sweatpants.
I love it.
Yeah, but I will deny it.
To anyone who asks.
Yes. Sweatpants, no, I don't have those, but I do.
Who is or who are your style icons? Do you have any? They can be celebrities, they can be locals, they can be whomever you want.
I just realized I've been swearing. Am I allowed to swear?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I've been trying to keep it together, swearing-wise. Style icons. I think I've always preferred the wild ones. Like, growing up, Mom would always get... Like, she bought me my first Vogue magazine, and, you know, I think her preference was always the ones who really pushed the border for style. And I think coming from that as, like, a base, I've always chosen people like that, too, who just push the border boundaries a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like Stella Tennant, she's a model...
I know the name, I can't picture her.
The granddaughter of a Mitford sister, if you must know. Her grandmother was the Duchess of Devonshire.
Okay.
Anyway, she's a British model. But like Di De Fontis, like people who just kind of push that. Not so much like beauty rule, like you don't have to be full of makeup, obviously. I'm not wearing any makeup right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, people who just like push those boundaries, designers or who push those boundaries. Because mm-hmm. when you're little, like your mom's like, here's this magazine, you're looking at a bunch of, you know, like high fashion designers. And I don't know, you just kind of pick up things along the way.
Yeah.
If it's like color combinations or texture, you know, soft and hard or,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's no one person.
Okay.
But I always try to, when I want to try something new, to kind of try something different, whether it's a print or a color or just a cut or something mm-hmm. different. Yeah. What do people usually say?
There's just like, so I've only done two other interviews, mm-hmm. so... Like, the advanced style ladies come up.
Oh, yeah.
I think Hillary Clinton came up in one.
Oh, God. Well, you can't deny she does have style.
Yeah, like, she's very put together yeah. and, like, has nice, like, her, I assume she has a stylist or, like, a wardrobe team, but, like, they do a very good job.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's just, like, people who influence your style, and then I feel like this dovetails into,
I have to say one more person.
Yeah.
Liz Goldwyn. Do you know Liz Goldwyn?
No.
Oh, well, you should know Liz Goldwyn. She's like the great-granddaughter of, you know, like Metro Goldwyn Mayer. Yeah, so her father was Goldwyn. and she's like just a strange-looking lady, but in the most striking way. She's got these great big eyes, kind of a longer face.
Okay.
But... she just is, like, living her own life with I'm sure, a warehouse is full of this, like, old Hollywood charm and glamour. And, yeah, okay, she's probably just loaded, but...
yeah.
But just the way she conducts herself with the same kind of polish of Dita Von Teese, but maybe I'm pronouncing her name wrong. And I know that's just her stage name, but with Liz, I don't know, it's just a lot more pared down, but there is still that kind of old, kind of hazy, glamorous attitude.
That just makes your description of Liz Goldman just makes me think, for my thesis, not my thesis, when I was in my master's,
right.
I interviewed an author in Toronto who researched like fashion icons and everything. And so we ended up talking about Jackie O. Mm-hmm. And she had a similar description of Jackie O, where like she was not a standardly, conventionally like beautiful woman. She was like, she had this big face and her eyes were really far apart and had this big forehead. Like all like, just like, I guess the sum of Jackie O's like facial parts, like doesn't add up to like conventionally beautiful.
Yeah.
But she was just so poised and polished and like put together and carried herself so well.
Yeah.
Loaded.
Yeah. I mean, not that that matters. It's just, it's like you say that because you're jealous of their access to vintage.
Oh, yeah. Like,
I mean, she also lives in LA and, you know, the centers where there are an incredible amount of high quality items that you can still wear out that are not absolutely dead by the time you get them, you know? And that's just, it's not here because, well, what, no one was rich enough to have that kind of clothing.
Yeah.
So when they chose pieces to wear all the time, and that's just what's left here.
Yeah.
I guess. So
Yeah.
And I don't say that negatively, that oh, these people are rich, they have all of this clothing. It's like, no, I love what they've done with that as a platform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so if you had a chance, whose wardrobe or like whose style would you want to like adopt into your own that might be very different from yours, or just like someone like
elements of someone else's style that I'd like to bring in?
Yeah, so like in one of my first interview with Alyssa, she has like a very classic like vintage aesthetic, and she's like, Rihanna, I would want to like incorporate some shit from Rihanna's wardrobe into my life because it's just like so out of left field for her.
Some shit but she, from like, Rihanna. I mean,
because she's so like, it's just not her taste. It's like not Alyssa's taste or anything. But I feel like because you've given more broad, like just like the rule breakers or people who push boundaries is fairly
because broad. I've given broad.
But like it's a broad answer as opposed to saying like, well, this is someone whose style that I admire, and therefore,
I gave you names. I just name dropped three people.
You did just name drop three people. But if there was anyone who, like, was just, like, so out of left field for you, that whose style you admire, that you would, like, want to take risks and, like, try their style on for, like, a day or something.
Yeah, I don't know if I can answer that.
That's okay. You can circle back if you come around to it.
I'm looking at my bookshelf as if it's going to magically speak to me. You know, whenever I look at other people's style, I don't really, like, it's not them particularly that I look at as, like, style icons. It's like the shapes and the colors and the textures that they're wearing on their body and how, well, and how that would look on me. I'm sure everybody does that. So I just wish I was a little bit taller. That's really all. I mean, I'm 5'4", and I have a waist, but if you asked me, I looked at myself the other day in the mirror. I was like, I have no waist. I just go from my shoulders to my feet, and it's just like a trunk. I just wish I was a little taller, and then I feel like I could pull off most anything. Just a little bit more, specifically in the torso area. 2 inches, that's all I'm asking.
Really?
I'm not getting
Are you it. Longer the leg than the torso then?
Yeah.
Oh,
I
okay.
have a tiny torso.
I think I have a longer torso than standard, so like
just anyone see? So to ask to anyone with a longer torso than me. I think I would try a lot of stuff if I had access to it.
Yeah.
Would I wear it out to a coffee shop? Probably not, just because you can't wear like John Galliano Couture to like Lion and Bright Coffee Shop on like Rickles Street.
Yeah.
basically John Galliano all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, just him, his mostly his stuff he's created for Dior, but also Margiela.
Yeah.
And just him as a man.
So, okay, this might be a controversial
point. Could he be my
point.
Spirit animal? Yes, I think maybe.
Were you still holding a torch for him during his like banishment period?
Absolutely.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure people would read into that because, am I white? Yes. Am I blonde? Yes. am I Aryan? Well, I guess you'd say that because I have blue eyes. But,
yeah, blonde hair, blue eyes.
You know.
Very pale skin.
Yes. full of moles. I don't know. I mean, do I think it's appalling what he said? Absolutely. Like, it's just, what? I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't make an excuse for him because there isn't one. I mean, Jesus. Like, what happened to him probably should have because you just crossed that.
That's the thing.
I shouldn't say probably. Yeah, it should have, totally. There has to be consequences for your actions when you're at that level, like, as an actress, as a politician, as an actor, like,
as any sort
anything.
Of influential
yes.
figure,
any position
you,
like that.
Yeah, there has to be consequences.
Yeah.
And so I think that's my sentiment as well for like currently with like this, the Me Too movement and all of that is just like, yeah, you fucked up. You need to go away. Like, you just need to go away for a while.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you can't come back from it, but like you need to take time out of the limelight.
Yeah.
You need to go figure yourself out.
Yeah.
Because, like, didn't Galliano go dry out as well in rehab or something?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it's that focus on... Oh, well, I mean, it's really all what you're about, kind of, in that, you know, fast fashion is not sustainable.
Yeah.
In that, my God, how are you supposed to, like, create all of these new looks, new things, resort wear, spring, summer, fall,
there's
winter.
Too many
it's
collections.
It's just insane. And, you know, if you're doing ready to wear and then you're doing couture, it's like, how is that? How are you going to?
Yeah, there was,
you know,
this...
Having an arts background, as we both do, and knowing what we have to do in, like, a institutional, creative meat grinder. It's like, I mean, we were in, like, a small meat grinder. He was in, like, big-time meat grinder. And everybody is who shares that kind of exposure that he had and has regained. And, you know, but... Oh, where's my point with that? You have to be held accountable for your actions, but also consider, well, how are we going to make it better in the end?
Yes.
Right? Like, people who just sexually assault on the daily and then, like, of course they get, you know, the consequences. They lose their job. They, you know, their life goes down the tubes, rightfully so, because you can't be playing grab ass all the time.
No.
But there has to be things put in place where, you know, people like that can't go on for that long. People just can't, you know, cover for them. So, you know, you can't just cover for Galliano's actions. Like, was he a drug addict? Oh, yeah. Like, whether it was drugs or booze or something, like, he needs to go away. You need to fix yourself. But also, the fashion industry had to fix their
itself,
approach.
Yeah.
But have they? Probably not.
No, that's
no,
the thing.
But...
Well, I think it's happening. I don't think the industry as a whole is saying, we need to fix this, we need to address this.
Yeah.
I think it is the smaller labels. So, like,
because
you were saying, like, you had just spoken about how it's, like, fall, winter, spring, summer, pre-fall, pre-summer,
oh, yeah, the
resort
collections. I forgot
pre-collections,
the pre-season collections.
But there's, it used to be two seasons,
yeah,
and then it expanded to four seasons,
totally.
And now it's a million seasons, it feels like.
Yeah.
And so there are, and like couture and bridal and menswear and whatever. Like, there's so many different.
And
I think
menswear,
so
everyone forgets about menswear.
I know. I think so many companies are trying to, like, labels are trying to cover everything and have fingers in all the pies, and they're burning out and they're making poor products and things like that.
Yeah.
So I think from, like, certain lines, it's the pushback is coming. So, like, Victor and Rolf, they're only doing couture. That's what they're focusing on,
I think. That's what they're good at.
That's what they're good at.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, is I think people need to say...
I say that nonchalantly, like, I really know. But, I mean,
they
from what I've seen, it's just mind-blowing.
But
for me,
it's, so good.
It's like, oh my God. had. Like, I want that Elizabethan collar. Like, give it to me now.
I want more. I could just watch.
More volume. More volume.
Yeah, they love the volume. Yeah. I'm just thinking of that show 2 years ago, 1 year ago. It was spring, like, summer.
Went up to the red.
whatever. It was spring, summer, either this past, like, last year, like, 2017 or 2016, where it was literally wearable art,
yeah.
Where it was dresses that turned into picture frames that could go back into dresses.
Oh, yes, yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like, they're doing that so well, but they're focusing all their efforts on that as opposed to saying, oh, and we're going to do ready-to-wear, and we're going to do couture, and we're going to do whatever else. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that would really help with, like, the well-being of everyone within the industry if it was like, we're going to pick a handful of things, do that really well, and we're not going to expend, like, we're not gonna wear out our designers, our illustrators, our sewers, like, because everyone is put under such strain in those environments.
I think you know, the creation of art, or when you create, it's in North America especially, it's, you're creating to make money, and that's all you're creating for. And I know, like, you know, a lot of these designers are out of Europe. But, like, I think it's less about perhaps trying new things and trying to be selective in what you use to create those things, and more about, okay, well, what's achievable in this time frame that we have to make this collection, and we need to, you know, get it done and get it sewn and get it put together for this deadline, instead of, well, you know, it's going to happen, the garment will be done when it's done. Like, I think, what was it? How many years ago was it? 5 or 6, where Tom Ford was like, nah, you can't come to my fashion show. It's invite only. And there were no pictures.
This sounds familiar. I feel like Tom Ford is also the one who pulls, like, the weird antics. But, like, that rocks the boat. Because wasn't it also Tom Ford that a couple years ago at New York Fashion Week?
Yeah.
There was, like, the standard area. And then he was like, no, we're going out in, like, Bushwick or something. I don't think it was Bushwick. But they were just like.
And it was invite only.
Okay, it was that show where it was just like, this is where this is happening.
I think he does that consistently now, though I'm not for certain.
But yeah, there's, like, one person who kind of starts the ball rolling of, like, and I think it's the larger houses that can, that do have the clout to be like, no, we're going to go against the grain.
Yeah.
And you say we're showing down at Mercedes-Benz, like, the station, like, the sanctioned whatever space. Yeah. No, we're going off-site.
Yeah.
Like, doing that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean,
to kind of mix it up.
You have to bring some sort of humanity into that like, process, because I don't even know how designers of that level consistently make garments looking like that. I mean, obviously they design it, but they, you know, they're not putting it together themselves.
No.
It's somebody else. And
those little French ladies.
Yes. I read this really awesome article about the application of exotic feathers in couture. I forget this guy's name, but it was in the New Yorker months and months ago, but it was all about this man and how he's grown this business of, like, only exotic feathers be applied. Like, you as a designer would hire this guy to apply the feathers to your garment, or make a certain thing to go with an outfit, and it would be made. But I can give you the article. It's actually good
for you. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Alright. We're going to cycle back to purchasing vintage and things like that.
Sure.
Because I'm going to be very self... We have spoken about vintage, we've spoken about your wedding, so we're going to talk about your vintage wedding dress.
Okay.
Because I don't know, maybe I'm building it up in my head, but, like, it's a beautiful, like, blush pink dress.
Mm-hmm.
Silk?
Or... I don't even know. Probably.
I just think it's great that you got your... I think I just like that. I think it's such a you dress, because it's vintage. And I guess it's kind of, like, unconventional.
Yeah. Honestly, if I hadn't have found that dress, I probably would have just worn one of the dresses I already had.
Yeah.
Because, like, Oh, she's going to start eating food. Then my cat's just going to be a guest on this interview.
Okay, we're into it.
Okay.
That crunching sound in the background is Mittens having dinner.
Yeah. from what the dog didn't eat earlier.
Yeah.
Jerk. Bring me back to your question.
Wedding dress. You were saying that had you not found the dress you did at Elsie's.
Yeah.
Because to bring it full circle.
Yeah. It was, like, we were just planning on having a city hall wedding, and it was going to be super small, and I was like, well, there's no space for a huge dress, really, of any kind, in such a small space, so I was like, no, it's not going to happen, I'll just find, like, a really awesome vintage dress, but it didn't have to be, like, specifically, you know, white or blush or whatever, you know,
yeah.
It was just going to be something I really liked that was slightly over the top, which did happen, yeah, so I think once we decided on the venue for the wedding, I was like, I'm getting the big dress. And again, I didn't know where I was going to find it. I was looking on a lot of places online, like Etsy and Amazon, or, you know, just any place that had a good stock of wedding dresses. I knew, I had done a few shoots for years ago. Amy Honey of Fancy Lucky Vintage.
Yes.
Out of Lawrencetown. And, Lawrencetown, Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
And she had some wedding dresses specifically and would definitely be my go-to for her to find one for me.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah, that was going to be, like, I didn't really know what the hell was going to go down for that wedding. Like, I just was flying by the seat of my pants most of the time. And so when that dress was, like, I wasn't going to let myself try it on because I had known it was there for a few months. And I was like, I can't have that dress. I'm not even going to try it on. Like, not
gonna. Oh, before you changed venues and all that happened.
Yeah, I had known it was there. So, because it was so big.
Yeah, because it has a train that then, like, can hook up into
My cousin just did that. She's like, this is how it goes. She's been to so many weddings. Like, probably, like, 100 weddings.
My sister's been that person for the friend. Has been, like, basically the hold my dress while I pee person.
Yeah, well, I just didn't pee. So I just, like, didn't eat hardly anything. Didn't pee. because... I mean, I had to be, like, it just wasn't gonna happen.
Yeah.
I don't think I planned not to be,
it just didn't happen.
Yeah. So, when I was looking for the dress, any vintage dress, I was looking for something 50s, because at the time I was really in love with that, kind of new look silhouette.
Oh, yeah.
Even though I had no waist for that shit. So, like, you know, that extra couple inches of...
cinching.
Like there's no torso to cinch that to, really. I mean, in my mind, in my disfigured vision of what my body looks like in clothes.
Yeah.
But, you know, so when I found that dress, it just required no alterations at all, which is, like, absolutely unheard of.
Oh, yeah. Like, I've watched enough episodes of Say Yes to the Dress that they're like, you try on.
Yeah.
The showroom model or, like, whatever, and then it's like you're clipped here and alterations, blah blah blah. That's a whole segment on Say Yes to the Dress, is like, and then down in alterations, this bride lost her damn mind because it's too short, or like it doesn't fit, or like who knows what.
And the wedding's in 2 weeks, and blah blah blah.
And then the, oh my gosh, there's like the head seamstress is this like Romanian lady or something, or I don't know, but she just like. Such a thick accent, and is just, like, knows her shit.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to. Brides are insane.
Yeah. I haven't been to a lot of weddings, but I feel like you are a fairly calm bride.
Yeah, mostly because I'm like, well, this train wreck is going to happen whether I'm here or not. So I'm just going to, like, button me up and put my shoes on, because once I was buttoned up in the dress, I couldn't put my own shoes on.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like, I think everyone also... just, like, kind of kept things flowing, where it was just, like, we'll deal with this, you go do that.
Yeah. And that's, like, what... I mean, that's the smallest wedding I've ever been to. It was my own wedding. Mostly, they're, like, 200 people.
Yeah.
And it's, like, what's going on? And it's an open bar and sweet,
you know? Well, yeah, because that's not a thing out here, open bar.
Not really.
No.
I mean, we had one, but...
Like, but the thing is, probably because it was such a small wedding, but the thing is...
We drank that wine like, for the rest of the summer. Just
potentially. Nice. Yeah, it was awesome. But like, because I know Ontario, it's pretty standard for open bar. Yeah. But when I moved out here, like 10 years ago, and I was chatting with people, and it was like, oh, that's not a thing out here.
No.
And I don't know what it is.
Because we're all fucking poor. Well, it's just, you know, different, I think, if you want to have... Because I think what it is that when you have a wedding, it's you have a wedding at a venue, so a church, or if it's like a curling rink hall or something. And then
the Legion.
Yeah, the Legion, and... Or like a Masonic hall. My uncle was pushing for his Masonic hall. It's like hell we're doing that.
Is that even allowed? Like, I just... This is going to be a tangent.
Well, it's like the hall.
Oh, okay.
Not like the churchy part.
So, this past winter for Robbie Burns, my dance studio, we do our own Robbie Burns celebration.
Sweet.
And I also
wish there was more tartan involved in my wedding, but there was not.
My sister has already planned my wedding, and it's going to be tartan galore.
Yes! No, it's happening. I will back her. Assuming I'm invited, but, you know.
Oh, gosh. I can't even think about that
one. Yeah, no. That's what bridesmaids are for.
Basically.
Yeah.
But so, for our, then our, like, my dance school, my teacher gets calls from, like, the local Masons Club and whatever. Yeah. And because I wasn't in school and, like, had some wits about me, I had enough time to, like, go dance for the Masons Robbie Burns this year.
Sweet.
And so we went into, like, the little religious space. Because it's, like, a whole thing. Because, like, it's, like, I think only recently... Women have been allowed in, like, the, like, boys club area.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll ever want to do it again, but I was like, this is weird. You have your little aprons and your weird little throne.
Yes.
And like, it's a...
Gloves. Forgot the gloves.
Just like everything about it. I was like, I just wasn't comfortable in that environment. But yeah, like, oh my gosh, had your wedding been at a Masons Hall, I would have died.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like a regular, any kind of
auxiliary
building, but just the fact that it had, you know,
the Masons, everything.
The Mason symbol over the doorway. I was like...
I just wanted to get that in about your wedding because I don't know, I just love that you got your wedding dress at a vintage shop when like there's all these people who whatever floats your boat, but like they will drop thousands.
Well, that's also part of it. I mean, like, what I knew I would never be happy with a new dress. It just is not what I'm about, like, it just, you know. Even, well, I shouldn't say I would never be happy with a new dress. I would never be happy with a new dress that I could try on in Canada. Like, if I went to somewhere in the UK, I would be happy. But who can go on a buying trip to England for their wedding dress?
I mean, there are people, but like, yeah, that just like wasn't in the plans for you.
So it was a problem until, you know, I found what I did, and I was happy about that.
Yeah, it looked so good.
Well, it was made by a Canadian department store. Like, when I looked up the name on the box, because it came in its original box.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
It was some like high profile department store in the like Jewish specific, it said specifically the Jewish fashion district of Toronto. And I was like, I don't know why you have to say that, but okay. So I'm not sure exactly who designed it, but it was...
That makes me laugh because the fashion district in Toronto is negligible. Like, it's like all North American fashion industry, it's struggling.
Yeah.
There's still like those little signs. It's like the actual, it'll be like Queen Street, and then above it is like this cultural area, so it's like fashion district or the entertainment district or the annex or whatever.
Yeah,
which makes me laugh.
Toronto.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big city, but
it is.
It tries to act like New York, and I'm like, just be yourself. Just be yourself.
All right. Yeah. So, we're gonna play a segment called Into It, where I will. I will name a trend, right, and you can say whether you're into it or not.
Okay.
You can expand on your answer.
Okay.
Or you don't have to.
Oh, don't give me license to expand. You know how I...
I'm going to dive into this.
Okay.
The Gucci fur slides.
Oh, gross. Yeah, like totally not into it, and not all in capital letters.
Not into it.
Gross.
Leggings as pants.
No.
Crocs.
Absolutely not. Though I do see the point when you want something quick to slip on and you're going to collect eggs. Don't even laugh at me. She's laughing at me.
It makes sense. It just makes like sense. Gardening, but I love that that's your answer. Is like when you're going to collect eggs.
Yeah. If you don't live in the country, you have absolutely no business wearing Crocs. Cause
yeah.
Yeah. No. Just no.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a thing out here, but athleisure, is that on your radar? You're fairly up and up on fashion trends.
Athletic leisure clothing?
Yeah, basically. So, like, basically what I am wearing right now.
Yeah.
I am wearing my sneakers, because like, my running shoes,
yeah,
because I'm on vacation, sure, and we're walking everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's that, it's a very, like, Toronto aesthetic where it's, like...
Oh, that's been around for, golly, at least.
Baseball cap. It's also, yeah, like, an extension of normcore, I'd say, of, like, the baseball cap.
Would
with,
you
like,
call that normcore? I don't know.
Baseball cap, yeah, with, like, the white. It's basically...
I understand,
like,
what you're, yeah, trying to say.
Yes. You look like you're going to the gym, but you're, yeah, never going to the gym.
Yeah, exactly. Is there, like, an on-the-fence option?
Yeah, that can exist.
I mean, generally not into it, but... I can see where you just want to be comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else?
Would it be a thing I would wear? No. How about that?
Oh, I feel like your casual is like jeans and a t-shirt. Like, yeah, that's your casual though.
Yeah. Mostly because they're jeans that are like, I've always had them since I was, you know, they were like given to mom as like hand-me-downs, and I just still have them. So that's like what I wear, because I'm too cheap to buy sweatpants or something, or,
yeah,
like leisure clothes.
Yeah.
I wear, you know, the overalls, the crazy overalls.
That I love them so much.
Yeah. So.
What about, I feel like it's a comment coming back, dresses over pants.
No.
Or like, no?
God, no. It's the silhouette, people. Come on. You're either wearing pants or you're not wearing pants. Though, I have to say, I'm somewhat okay with this like athletic wear. It's like legging, like for on men, it's,
yeah,
like men wear leggings and then like longer kind of basketball length shorts with
oh, that's just like the runner's look.
Yeah, I know, but you can make it fashion and not, I'm a greasy jogger.
Fair.
You,
fair,
know, I've seen it. I think like Kanye West is like big into it, or it has been a couple of seasons ago.
Okay.
But before that, it was a thing. You could find it on like the Sartorialist for, okay, men. I'm not specific if it was to a certain city like New York or Milan, but it happened, and I was on the fence at first because I was like, no. But now I like the play with just hemlines, I think. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, because you brought up Kanye. How, yeah, do you feel about celebrities as fashion designers?
If you've got it, then you've got it. If you don't, what are you doing? Like, Rihanna and her line for, like, it's like the British version of Forever 21. It's like River, oh, something.
Yeah.
River Island, she did a few,
oh, okay,
like, well, 2011 or, like, 2012. I'm like, how much of that did you design? Probably none of it.
I know, that's the thing.
It's like a vetting process at that point. Like, you have to be involved. Like, Kanye, do I like a lot of his stuff? I like his use of the sweatshirt, not sweatpants. It's like, that's hate on for sweatpants, not really. I mean, I think he has a vision, and I think he controls that vision. And if you can do that, and if you have a, you know, team of people around you that work with you,
yeah,
and not against what you're trying to say, then it works. But
yeah,
I think a lot of the time it's just someone, you know, out to make money.
That's the
by
thing,
by putting
is,
their name on something.
Yeah, because there are some like organic ones where like I didn't even know that this was a thing, but like The Row is the Olsen twins.
You didn't know that?
No. Hey. I don't know. They just like fall under the, I should know everything about them, but like also don't smoke, kids, because Mary-Kate does not look good.
No.
Like, the two, it when, because they showed up at the Met Gala, and, like, the two of them next to each other.
I didn't see what they were. But...
she looks like a wax figure. Mm-hmm. And, like, this waxy and a good 10 years older than her sister, because they're in their early 30s.
Are they?
Yeah, they were, they're, like, mid-80s. Yeah, they're born, like, 85 or something.
Okay.
So, like, they're only in their 30s, yeah. but she looks, like, into children. Her 40s. Yeah. So don't smoke, children.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I regret doing that one summer. So, like, I was in love with the smell of the cigarette in the package, and it was the stupidest decision. It was so dumb. Yeah. So dumb. Don't smoke, children.
But, yeah, she... but, like, the Olsen twins being fashion designers and having a label now, duh, that makes sense, because... yeah. They, for a brief period, had, like, their own magazine, and they just seemed like they were always...
that.
I know. When I was, like, 12, I think they had their magazine. Yeah. But it just feels like this natural, because, like, they, by being child stars, they were kind of thrust into the public eye, and they ran with it, and they made their own, like, empire. They, like, they're just short of goopifying themselves.
Oh, gosh. No. I think... when you're creative, how you choose to be creative varies. I mean, you know, I'm a photographer, so my go-to outlet for creativity will be photography first, but I also really like to knit, and I like fibrous things, and I also like to garden and be creative that way. I think it doesn't, it comes out of you whatever means you try. I think, you know, Kanye, first and foremost, just because he's the most visible example. I mean, if I knew others, then I would talk about them. But, you know, he's a musician, and he creates some wild-ass shit.
Yeah.
So if, you know, he's just, with clothing, he's found a way that interests him enough to make something with it. Is it terribly visionary? I don't think so, but, like, he's taking, you know, normal items like leggings, unitards, sweatpants, sweatshirts, t-shirts, like, boots, kind of, like, Doc Martens style, military, and kind of making something slightly different.
Yeah, with and it. I enjoy how, in one of my classes, I did a class of, like, fashion and pop culture.
Yeah.
And the person teaching that class went to Kanye's show the prior year. So this was, like, in the last, like, 4 years or so. And so she did a presentation on that. And it was, I think, the multimedia experience of the fashion show, where, like, it wasn't a standard runway show.
Yeah.
Everyone went and stood, which that's actually kind of... in my mind, that's a bit of, like, a labor issue of just, like, making people stand there for 5 minutes.
Oh, was it at the Madison Square Garden one?
Yeah. And so, but, like, it was this, like, massive, like, spectacle experience. Yeah. And I think that's really interesting. Yeah. And I think Chanel or Dior does a similar thing of, like, was it Dior that just did, like, the boat?
No, that would be Chanel.
That was Chanel.
It's a Karl Lagerfeld thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, yeah, Lagerfeld.
Or, like, the supermarket.
Yeah, like, yeah, Lagerfeld. Yeah. Oh, Lagerfeld is a piece of shit. But, like, does interesting things and, like, makes a spectacle and all of this stuff. So, I think that's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think sometimes that we almost don't have a choice about how these things kind of materialize.
Mm-hmm.
And so... sometimes, well, you do, but I don't know. Sometimes it's more organic than others, how it comes out, but...
so, because you've talked about how, like, predominantly your creative avenue is, like, photography, but you talked about how it's also, like, fiber arts, gardening.
Yeah.
Would you say that clothing is also one of those avenues that, like, is how you creatively express yourself?
Well, I've got a lot of floral print things. I think so, yeah. I mean, I always try to... give a little something extra when I am in the company of others. Just, I think, as a sign of respect for myself, but also for the other person. Although I feel sometimes when I do that, I make the other person feel a little like, oh, you dressed up. It's like, no, it's just being me.
So our fashion blab, which is a long-form discussion.
Oh boy.
The full segment is called Gab's Fab Fashion Blab.
totally appropriate.
So I missed it entirely, but the royal wedding was today.
Right.
You watched it. Yeah. What were the fashion things? I've seen nothing. So like, tell me about this. What were the peaks? What were the valleys?
What I saw a lot of.
Were there some Pippa dresses? Because wasn't that like the hot shit for Will and Kate's wedding? Was like, everyone is now like, I want the Pippa dress. I want that Pippa ass. Like,
no, she was quite reserved, I think, in her choice. As far as cut of the dress goes, you know, the as far as color and print, it's to be expected of an English spring wedding. Floral print, pastel, oh, yeah. You know, looked great on her.
Okay. That was Pippa specifically?
Yeah, okay. Like, I think the biggest takeaways so far as far as trends were for this morning was cape sleeves. Like, I'm not sure I'm saying this particularly right. Like, it's when it, like, the sleeve stops here and it kind of billows out.
Yes.
Okay, so cape sleeves.
So, I think, because I also think there's a big 70s revival is coming up. Like, pants are getting wider. The wedges are coming out. Those, like, stacked wood clogs are coming back. Like, it's a lot of, it's like a 70s, 90s mashup right now of what's returning. But like, so I feel like those like cape sleeves were very like late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah. So. And I wasn't sure if it was just one designer who was doing this. So I was like, watching. I'm like, no, it's pretty widespread.
Who designed Meghan's dress?
Golly.
British line?
A British designer, okay. Yeah. Relatively unknown up until this point.
Really?
Yes.
Ooh, that's exciting.
What I liked about that dress was that she had range of movement. I think with so many wedding dresses, it's like, okay, let's paint it on.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, so tight and not so relaxed. But mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the play with like wearability and kind of structural aspects of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look this up because I saw the like post-wedding like what like
yeah. Way carriage, from the carriage.
Away from the carriage procession, and so I saw her what like torso.
That Hawaiian dress I showed you earlier, that you know me. How that like the cape kind of comes out in the back.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So that's how it came off of the back of her dress, kind of.
So very 60s, I would say.
Yes, it was.
So it's I think it's a box pleat?
Yeah. Okay. See, I don't know the technical terms.
My mother's taught me this.
Okay, so well, it was that. You'll
I think tell, it might be, I think that's technically it. An inverted box pleat if it comes out. I can't remember.
Okay. So there was that, and these, like, elbow fluffs. So I'll describe that. So your sleeve goes down, you know, relatively fitted as mm-hmm. a normal sleeve would, to your elbow, and then it fluffs out like a mermaid dress. You know how, like,
Oh, I'm just picturing...
Like a fluff.
Yep.
Like a ruffle. Yeah. There was a lot of that consistently throughout everyone's choices.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then, you know, fascinators like
Philip Tracy.
Oh, I think he's the only one everybody knows.
Yeah, that's the thing. You think hats, you think British, you think Philip Tracy.
Yeah, I don't know. I watched CBC coverage, so okay. They were not all about the naming of names.
Get it together, CBC. Well, I need my names.
Well, I mean, other fashion-wise, the Queen wore lime.
Really?
Yeah, lime with kind of purple, like her dress underneath was purple, and a little design aspect on her hat was like a really kind of royal purple color, that deep tone, and lime, so it was like really bright.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe it was like, I feel like that's a more unconventional color for her, but mm-hmm. I feel like maybe unconventional color for like the unconventional wedding, because the whole perhaps. Like the whole controversy, I guess controversy of just like, or like the lifted controversy mm-hmm. of like a non-aristocrat
right mm-hmm.
divorcee.
Oh yeah.
Because mm-hmm. Armand and I were talking about this because we were eating our breakfast in Scotia Square this morning.
Classy.
Watching the processional wave.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And so we were talking about it, and I was just like, yeah, like, who was it? Edward abdicated mm-hmm. because he couldn't marry...
They wouldn't let him marry Wallace Simpson.
Wallace Simpson. And then Margaret didn't get to marry her first because he was also a divorcee and not. I know all of this from The Crown, and I'm just like, fascinating.
Well, it doesn't help when their costume designer works like that.
But yeah, so like maybe unconventional color for the queen for an unconventional wedding.
Yeah, it was definitely an unconventional wedding, so far as how it was conducted. Like, I mean, was it revolutionary style-wise? I would say no.
Yeah.
But
I feel like a British wedding is a British wedding is a British wedding.
Mm.
Oh, no?
Well, I'm, as anyone will know, if they've looked this stuff up online, there was a particular priest. That's the only time we'll talk about a priest on your podcast. he was, like, really, really down to earth in that kind of Baptist minister way, where he's like working the stage and like really open with his language. So not like that typical like churchy stuffiness. And I think that kind of threw everybody in the crowd for a loop.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was like laughing during the ceremony. There were jokes. He had jokes. And we were just sitting there on the couch like, oh, what's going on here? This is definitely completely different for them. But yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was an interesting wedding.
It sounds it.
Yeah.
I can't wait to read all of, like, the...
Well, I mean, fashion-wise, okay, bring it back to that. Was it any different from, you know, those photos that come out from horse racing, like Royal Ascot? And, was it any different fashion-wise from that? No. People went a little crazy with the prints. People went a little crazy with the fascinators. Sometimes I think people don't understand that black tie means a long dress, for God's sake. Like, just make it to the knee. God damn, just do it. There are lots of options for you that maintain your sexiness. Just follow the rules sometimes. But yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, to go back, that's another pet peeve, no sweatpants. And my God, when it says black tie, just do it.
Do you go to a lot of black tie events?
I've gone to two black tie weddings, yes. But, I don't know. I mean, does anybody really care at the end of the day? No. But as a guest, you should at least try to respect the couple's rule or request.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's not applicable to a lot of people, black tie. But
yeah.
At least look it up on YouTube.
I know, it's not that hard when, like, similar for, like, if you're starting a new job and it's like, this is the dress code.
Yeah.
Do a Google.
Yeah.
You have the internet.
Black tie doesn't mean black. It just means length, really.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So that just about brings us up for time. Mm-hmm. So I like to always like to end this with my final question of, if you were a garment, what garment would you be?
Oh, yay. Okay, first thing that pops to my mind, and I would go with that, is a marabou, am I pronouncing that right?
Marabou
feather.
Yep.
Dressing gown.
I love it.
I can tell you specifically. There's a designer, I think she's also a burlesque performer, Catherine Delish.
Okay.
So there are these just grand dressing gowns, and nearly every edge is covered with marabou feathers. Yeah.
I'm into it.
I feel like I would, if I had one of those, I would wear it all the time and completely wreck it, but I would feel so lavish doing so. Yeah.
Nice. And that wraps it up for us. So if people would like to find you on social medias, do you want to do a social media plug?
Yeah, Veronica Horseman Photo on Instagram.
Nice.
Yeah.
I will include a link to that.
Cool.
And do you have a website, or are you like me, where you, every year, you're like, this is the year, and then it's not the year?
Well, I do. It's the same, Veronica Horseman Photo. I believe it's at Wix.com. It's a Wix site.
Very nice. Thank you for doing this having me out here and agreeing to be interviewed. I feel like it had to happen.
Well, there's lobster downstairs.
Oh my gosh,
that was my bribe. I bribed her with lobster.
Ugh, it works every time. All right, so thank you again, Veronica. And thank you, dear listeners. And until next time, I will bid you adieu.
that's someone outside. Bork, bork, bork.